You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don and Phoebe, I've got a feeling we're a fraction out of our depth here, but most of the people we've interviewed over the 4 years, we've been out of our depth, Don. We know very little about most of the people we speak about, but I'll just read this out, and we'll ask the people in if this is vaguely accurate, which is what we always do. Between friends... and Between Friends Wine Bar is a, these are my words, is an upmarket dating club. I'm not looking to see if that has raised eyebrows.
Hang on, the name Between Friends, is that the name of the business?
Between Friends and Between Friends Wine Bar is the name of the business.
Right.
We'll clarify that in a minute. And I'm saying it's an updated dating club, upmarket dating club, whose membership conditions are pretty stringent and pretty strict if you want to be a member of the organisation. It's based on couples and single ladies.
Not men?
What?
Not single men.
I hope I speak clearly, Don. Couples and single ladies, it's based on that. If you've got some questions, wait, just hold them. It has a scheduled male-female-male night that's scheduled, rarely, but it's scheduled on a regular basis. And it's the only venue that manages the balancing act between couples, single ladies and single men. And this is in quotes. This is from the management. We have a different culture, rules and standards than other swingers venues. Close the quotes. Its owner proprietor. He is in the house with his assistant, who is called the mistress. That is not being politically incorrect. That's what this person goes under the name of, the mistress. And like the Japanese general who said to his kamikaze pilots, is there any questions? Is there any questions? We have got about 8,000 questions for you, Matt. So firstly, and the mistress, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. And it's very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Sam. And good morning to both of you.
Matt, can I ask
Hang
you...
Hang on, the mistress might... was.
Thank you for having us. Good morning.
No, we just want to know if you're... just. Recording, yes. And Fiona, if you want to ask a question. So the first thing we want to ask, Don.
Is the swinging scene very big in Melbourne?
It's huge. It's actually huge. You'd be amazed. I've been amazed. We've been doing this for 2 years now. And you'd think you'd run out of pool of people that are interested. But it just goes from strength to strength. We are quite amazed.
Well... I was just going to establish how many swingers clubs like you or venues are there in Melbourne, or are you?
That's an odd question to answer, or odd answer for that one, because technically there is nobody like us. We are a standalone. We like to describe ourselves because we genuinely are. We are a wine bar first and foremost. We are a wine bar dedicated exclusively to couples and single ladies. We'll discuss about the single guys later on.
We will.
But we are basically, first and foremost, a wine bar that are dedicated to and exclusively serve the niche of swingers and single ladies that wish to play.
So, Matt, there is a... it's a club, is it? You have to be a member of it?
No, we are open to anybody that fits our criteria. It's not like a paid membership to join exclusivity.
So you turn up on a whatever basis you like and you pay, I think, $90 if you're a couple.
Correct.
And if you're a single woman, or if you're a woman, mm-hmm. I don't
either
know if
either.
You have to
no
be
judgment.
Single.
Yep.
As long as you're identifying... well, there's a question. As long as you are a genuine female or identifying as one, there, you'll have to wrap your head around that as society opens up.
I had that very discussion with a guy 2 weeks ago. who tried to BS his bushy his way into the front door by saying, well, I identify as a single woman, as a female. And I said, no, you don't. He says, what makes you decide? What allows you to decide that? I said, because it's my venue, my policy, my front door, and you're not coming in because you're full of it. And I said, but I do. I said, look, I can tell you now, in 2 years of running this venue, I've never once had a complaint from anybody from the LGBTQIA plus community. So I said, I think we're doing pretty well here. And if you wish to have a problem with it, you can go talk to somebody else. And we just don't take it. And look, that's probably happened twice in 2 years.
Could I ask the mistress something? Do you have a criteria, or do you have a form as somebody walks in off the street? Do you ask them these particular questions to get it?
No, absolutely not. We're open for everybody that is interested in being there, everyone who's part of the lifestyle, so everybody's welcome.
I don't think that's what your I don't think that's what it says on your website, mistress.
What do you believe
calling
it
you
says?
Out. He's calling you out.
It's a very good question.
Outside of it being couples or single ladies and not single men, other than for special events, there's no particular criteria.
Well, I'm not calling you out at all. I wouldn't.
No, do it. I want you to.
No, I'm not calling out. It said, so you have to, if you want to come in, you have to present a photo ID of yourself, do you?
No.
Well, it says that on your thing.
We do ask for it at certain stages. When people are requesting a locker to put their belongings in, that's the only time we ask for an ID or a credit card or something like that.
So physical appearance is, you have to have a certain physical appearance?
Not at all. No.
Well, it says you don't allow, you don't encourage, or you don't allow ripped hunky males.
No, it doesn't say we don't allow that. It says you don't have to be that to come
in. I see. I'm glad you're correcting me, because I've tried to correct you, but
so I know what it says.
Like throwing cream puffs at the town hall, so I'm getting nowhere. So it is an extraordinary. Do most of the people who come to it actually know one another?
No.
No, that's the beautiful part about it. On any given night, maybe 20% of the people know other people within the venue. A lot of people will come along who were there 6 weeks ago and bring other people that they know along. That happens often. But ostensibly speaking, majority of people come there as myself and my partner. We come there to meet other people that would go there. And it's like any other wine bar, except at this wine bar, you just don't sit at your table chatting between yourself and your partner. You get up and you walk around, you chat to this couple, you chat to them, and you have a great night.
And it's primarily with a view to having sex.
Sometimes.
Primarily.
No, not primarily. It's primarily people that are interested in being there for that.
Yep.
But we made a point when we built it of focusing on the social space. So it's a whole social community. Yep. There is just the addition of the possibility of having sex if you happen to meet people that you're interested in.
So that the sex is at a later date. It's not. It's just an introductory.
It can be. So some people would meet and have sex on the same evening.
On the night.
But some people may socialise there and come back.
Do you provide that opportunity for them to have sex at the venue?
Ever. Yeah, so we are a registered sex on premises venue. So
Don's
we have
dived
facilities.
In the deep end. Love it. Dived in the deep end.
So we do have those facilities on site as well.
There's
You were wondering if this was a venue that provided the opportunity for people to have sex, were you? What did you think swingers meant?
I thought it could be an introductory agency. Done. I didn't realise they had these facilities. Could I ask you why?
Yes.
Why is it male and female, or couples, and women? Why have you gone that way?
Because what we find is that when single men come along, they can be a little bit intimidating for women. There, if you have a lot of single men around, they end up crowding, and it becomes a less comfortable situation. And oftentimes, if couples are wanting someone to join them, they would like a woman to join them, or two couples will join together. There's less call for a single man to join a couple.
Is it? Are we trying to? This is my words. This is nothing I've read in your things to suggest this. Are we trying to keep this away from being a gay haunt?
No.
Not at all.
There are plenty of gay haunts.
Back to your previous question.
No, I know. What's that? I know there's plenty of gay clubs and gay haunts, but you don't. you want single women or women to come.
Yep.
You don't say men can come. No. Is it you're trying not to get involved in same sex couples coming?
No.
No, so not at all.
I'll group that in with your one of your previous questions, which I'm notorious for going off on tangents, which I already have done so far. You said, are there other ones like us? So we are, unlike anything else, we are a dedicated wine bar for people that swing. In Victoria, there are a couple other venues that are gay saunas, which is great, nothing wrong with that, that primarily used to be focused just on the gay community. And in more recent years have split their time between the gay community and swingers as well. So some nights I'll have a gentleman's gay night on, other nights I'll have a couple swingers nights on. So those sort of venues have a bit of an each way mix depending upon the night. We were designed to be a standalone focused on primarily couples and single ladies. What happens in the lifestyle community more broadly, you have very few single ladies that are interested in this sort of dynamic. You have a fair few couples that do it, and then you have a plethora of single guys that would love to get into it. So there's so many single guys, not funny. So you open your doors to single guys and you get an overwhelming mass of single guys come in and barely a handful of couples that come in. We don't like that. We've chosen to avoid being inundated with single guys.
Are you open 7 days a week or are you open lunchtime? What are your hours of operation?
Friday and Saturday nights are the big nights. Throughout the summer months, we open up throughout the week randomly. We trialled a Thursday night for a couple of months at one stage, which was quite successful. But primarily, you kind of in air quotes, date nights that people go out on dates for, so to speak, is Friday and Saturday night.
Is this just broadly the next step up from a dating app like Tinder or...
A little bit.
Grindr not Grindr so much.
What about What about the age?
Or friends only. Is this just the next step up from actually texting someone, you actually go and physically eyeball them?
A little bit, yeah. There are apps and websites out there that are like a dating app for swingers, and some people will meet on the dating app for swingers, and then they will say, hey, let's catch up between friends, and they do that quite often. So we get a lot of people that sort of like neutral turf. They're not meeting at a bar or whatever where people listen in. They're coming to our venue where everyone's having the same conversation, so it's nice and comfortable.
Please don't take offence at this.
I've heard them all. I've heard all the questions.
Is this just a glorified brothel?
No.
You nearly took offence at that.
Not at all. I did have a run-in with somebody at local council level at one stage who accused me of that.
Yep.
And I did warn them if they repeat that language, I will basically go them for slander. We actually had to go through a lot of legal hurdles to actually get what's called a SOPV, which is a certification to say we're definitely not that.
Yep.
There is no money exchanging or transferring hands for the purpose of sex on premises.
Oh, I see. Now, that's a good point. But you provide eau de toilette and condoms and towels and salves and liniments and everything that is conducive to, conducive to getting it on.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Is this modelled on an overseas business or did you create this?
No.
Why did you create it?
Because I'm insane, a little bit.
Good.
The genesis came from I was having my partner at the time were having a dinner date with friends of ours. And our friends...
Your partner in the business?
No, my partner several years ago, a lovely partner of mine.
A man or a woman?
Woman.
Yes.
We were having a dinner date with friends of ours. A shout out to Nathan and Holly, who were our friends, who were having that dinner date.
And they
were retelling a story about a swingers date night they had the night before. And they were retelling what happened. Those two, Nathan, Holly and their friends, were having the date night. And they realised the four of them sitting around a table in a... I don't remember what it was, a pub, a bar, a club, whatever it was. And they realised that the table that was near to them had stopped talking. A couple was on the table next to them, hadn't been talking for 5 minutes. And they realised because that couple on the table near to them weren't talking because they were eavesdropping on their swingers conversation between the four of them.
So this is like throwing the keys into the middle of the table.
A little bit. So Nathan just, when he was retelling the story to me, he goes, oh, for fuck's sake, I wish I could go somewhere where we didn't have this problem and people weren't eavesdropping on us. And that kind of hit this little light bulb. And I went, oh, if you could set up a wine bar just for swingers, it'd be great. But didn't think there was a big enough pool of interest there. And so it was something that festered in my mind for years and years. I kind of ignored it, didn't do it, try to pretend it wasn't a good idea. Ended up doing a whole business plan because my background was in business and management. did a full business plan to work out that it justified myself that it wouldn't work, and then got to the point where I couldn't justify that it wouldn't work, so I had to trial it to see if it worked, and it worked. Big time.
That's right. It says here, and I can't find it, but it says here that you can go where you won't be eavesdropping is no problem,
exactly.
And you have private rooms. And I just saw this here when you said that there was no...
I'm impressed how thoroughly you researched us.
No regulations. It said, to ensure it stays, we have cultivated a safe and comfortable environment for couples and single ladies. To ensure it stays that way, single men must apply and then be vetted before attending one of our events.
That's on just...
What are we vetting them for? Their physical shape?
No.
Age?
No.
Can anyone, could you have to be over 18?
Over 18, yes.
Yes, over 18 is a legal requirement.
Yes.
Discretionarily, I actually say 21.
Oh, yeah.
I think between 18 and 21, it's just a little bit too young.
Maturity and experience goes a long way.
And what to what age?
We have 77? Regular people that come into their 60s.
So, 70s. Mistress and Matt, it says here, playrooms, in inverted commas. This is where no single men are allowed to go to the playrooms. These are upstairs, apparently. And what does that mean? Does that mean that's where it's just open slather?
So,
there's beds, you're describing condoms, and there's talc and liniment and lube and shit. The single men can't go up.
So,
but single women can go up.
So, correct. So, you're specifically referring to the one night a month that we let in a small number of single guys. So on that night, we do vet the single guys. We allow for a maximum of 20 single guys to come into our venue on that night. Mm. And we vet them by way of, we make sure they can carry a conversation, that they're fairly articulate.
Follow the rules.
Follow that.
Be respectful.
Follow the rules, but you've got it. You nailed it, yes.
And be presentable. That would rule us out on four accounts, Don, if we turned up.
Sorry, guys.
You can't carry a conversation with anyone, let alone with me.
What about security? Do you have security?
We do have a couple layers of security. First and foremost, you can't get in the front door without seeing me.
So you're the security man?
I'm the door bitch, yep. Setting that aside, we have a couple other layers of security that's involved in the venue. But first and foremost, the lifestyle more broadly, the swinging community is very self-regulating and self-policing. It's a very safe environment because everybody understands there that it can be a very vulnerable situation where people are at their most vulnerable. And as a collective group, in any room that you've got a group of people where you've got women and men who are either clothed, partially naked, whatever, people are very protective of that situation. I bear witness to one incident in 2 years where there was a small issue happening upstairs, a very minor issue, and I had four guys interject to remonstrate. I'm trying to pick my words very carefully. To remonstrate with the offending party. What he did was very minor. He stepped out of line a bit. He was disrespectful. He was actually disrespectful to one of my staff. He disrespected one of my staff. And four people accosted him. He was in more shit than Batman.
Four people, what, customers?
Four male patrons all took him up on it. He knew he stepped out of line big time. He didn't do anything inappropriate with another patron. He didn't do anything overly inappropriate with my staff member. But he stepped out of line and four guys, he learned very quickly he stuffed up. Because everyone's very protective of that environment.
Are you required by the law or... I presume you have to have a license. I don't know.
Yes.
Do you require people to have health checks, or as you provide condoms, that's not a problem, or how do you? That's just up to the individual. Buyer beware, so to speak.
Caveat emptor. Correct.
Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware.
Exactly. We as a part of our SOPV certification. We do adhere to, and we would have regardless of the certification requirements, we do adhere to safe sex policies and encouragement. We have posters up, we have condoms in all the rooms, we have that kind of stuff. So we are stronger advocates for safe sex, but ultimately it's the decision of the individuals in question.
So Matt and the mistress, on a...
He loves saying the mistress every time he smiles with the mistress.
I'm a bit like Fiona. She said, what is your name? And he said, we don't want to give you a name.
Just for context, the mistress is like the mistress with a capital M. She's like the one in charge. She's the boss.
I understand.
As we jokingly say, she's the one in charge of the place. Yeah. I'm just the guy that pays the bills and lifts the heavy boxes.
Don and I are only partially educated, but we did...
Have you had experience in this industry before? Obviously, if you're a manager, you've had previous experience. What's your background?
In this lifestyle, background in general?
Yeah, no, your background in this particular business. You applied for the job or whatever else, so you've obviously got qualifications to manage this business.
Well, it actually started because I hadn't had experience in the lifestyle originally, and then Matt and I got into a relationship and I gave him the kick up the butt to get this idea off the ground that he had stewing for years and years, and so we built the business together. And then our relationship ended, but we've continued the business together.
How long does it take to establish the business? Was there a period of 12 months or word of mouth, or was it online?
Beforehand, we started, we spent a solid 12 months doing the planning and organisation beforehand. Once we got the lease for the building, we spent a solid 6 months renovating it. And during that time is when we started the online presence and started doing some pre-advertising leading up to when it opened up. Since then, most of the advertising has been
online. So how long
did
it take to get off the ground?
From when we first opened?
No, I'm not talking about the renovation and whatever else. The time you opened your doors for it to be established or up and going.
We did, as she mentioned, we did do a pre-marketing campaign before we opened the doors. As I said, the biggest reason I stewed on this for so long is I thought it was a dumb idea and wouldn't work. We opened the doors and there's a big gate at the front of our building, big heavy gate. And as I opened up there on the first night, I expected to be greeted with the sound of crickets and nobody turning up. From day one, the business has been profitable. I had forecast numbers of what I would break even at, what would be a successful business and what would be a really, really impressive numbers.
How people on any given night that you're open, how many people are in the venue?
Full house.
What does that mean?
We cap our numbers at 100 head in the building on any given night.
Yep.
In the month of May, we had one night where we hit 95% and every other night was a full house.
So how do you make your money? Is it through bar sales, membership or all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above, yeah. Bar sales, entry fee, the
90
whole
bucks a couple, yep. $15 a lady.
Just to
did
walk
you
in
not
front
hear
door.
Me say that at the start?
No.
Well, you've got to pay attention, Don, or else we can't have an interview properly if you don't pay attention. $90
Thank you, Matt. This is Matt over here telling me how you...
$90 a couple.
He's got it. He's
$15 for if you're a woman. You don't have to be single, or you just have to be identified.
Just means
you
a
have
woman
to actually be a woman.
Yeah. No, no. If you
are, or it's
if
in
you,
your discretion.
If you legitimately identify as a woman...
Yep.
I will happily, and we've had people of the LGBTQI plus community who identify as a woman, which may not have been born as a woman.
We've definitely had trans women
and then if people want to fraternise with them in the venue, that's up to them.
So you allow those trans in?
Absolutely, yeah. The story Matt was talking about that was someone who was there as a man, dressed as a man, who was just asking the question and saying, what if I identified as a woman, when he was clearly there identifying as a man.
So you classified trans as women?
Absolutely, yep. We've had many trans women now attending the venue.
Now, Matt, as the door bitch, if someone comes, a man comes to the door and he's scruffy and he looks shocking and he's just shoddy.
Mm-hmm.
You said there's no criteria. You've got to be presentable. Well, you said that, don't you? You've got to be presentable.
Correct.
So it's up to you whether they're presentable or not. So Don turned up looking like a pox doctor's clerk there.
Well, you don't look any worse.
Yeah, how would we go if we turned up? Is there an age? Don, you don't want old blokes turning
Don
up?
Don looks positively dapper. I look fantastic. The only thing I would say about Don is, Don, could you please take your hat off upon entering the venue? And that's it. Other than that, not a problem.
Take your pants off to see if we'd qualify.
The night's still young. A few drinks first.
So Matt, you don't want old blokes like us turning up and 80.
You actually started asking a bit before earlier on about age.
Yep.
This is where I get to geek out a bit. My background is in business, and I do numbers a lot. The average age of our attendees is 39. The median age is 39, with about 80% of our patrons are either 10 years younger or 10 years older. So basically in your 30s and your 40s is the sweet spot. We get many people in their 20s and many people north of that. I had a lovely couple message me 2 months ago, maybe less, 4 weeks ago, who were in the late 60s, and they said, are we allowed to come in? I said, of course. Now, you can come in, Sam. You can come in, Don. Not a problem. We are only too happy.
I was thinking of bringing Phoebe. Please do, Phoebe, for research purposes.
We insist you come along, Phoebe.
She nearly fell off the chair.
I'll even shout you the first drink, Phoebe. Consider it done.
He's just being cheeky. Matt, what was your background?
I was senior management in the construction industry. I was national sales and marketing manager and director and all that kind of stuff.
And tell us more about the lifestyle here in Melbourne. So we're talking about swinging. Why is it so popular? And is it something that's become more popular in recent years?
Yes, yes. In a large part because it's taboo and it's naughty. And a lot of people that come along to the bar that there's no two people the same.
Mm.
But you see certain trends and certain themes. We get a lot of couples who are in a loving relationship with each other. They love each other. Pardon me, they've had their kids grow up and the kids are in their mid-teens, early teens, early 20s, whatever it might be, and their sexual relationship between the partnership has evolved over time and they're looking for something else to spice it up. Now, some people like to have sex on the beach maybe. God knows why you do that. I'm just picturing sand everywhere. Moving on. Some people, you know, try and experiment other things, and that's fine, whatever you choose to. Some couples love the notion of incorporating other people into their relationship dynamic and having a naughty time.
And some people get off watching their partner sex with other people. That turns them on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
That's called Freudenfreud, the opposite of Schadenfreude, Freudenfreud, yeah. Which is deriving pleasure from the pleasure of others.
Were you going to say something, mistress? No. All touching, it says here, must be requested. So what? So if you're about to... I don't know, you're about to touch someone on the breast or the area, I better speak into the microphone, that helps me, if you're about to pat the minge
or something, or you've got to say, do you mind if I touch you there, or is it okay if I tweak your nipples or something?
Consent
or?
Is paramount. So
or it would be tacit, it'd be, you could tell by looking at someone if they're going to accommodate you or not.
In part. Typically, and again, there's no two. It never happens the same way twice in a row. But first and foremost, when people come in the front door, we have a discussion with them at the front door, giving them a rundown of us as a venue, the protocols, procedures, etiquettes and requirements. Part of that is consent. Consent is paramount. Consent is good and it's always required. It's always required. But often people have a chat downstairs and have a conversation with the other couple or the single lady, whoever it might be, and in part... If you're heading upstairs, you know there's an intent. But still, as you're going through and having, if you choose to head upstairs, some people don't. But if you're heading upstairs, at certain points you ask, is it all right if I do A, B, C, X, Y, Z?
So I see. If you go upstairs, well, that's generally accepted that you're up for... You're
within reason. It means you're comfortable to go upstairs with another couple, another person. And then from upstairs, you do want to continually having a conversation, and there's still a lot of chit chat and conversation and audience having upstairs.
So do you wander around? With the great danger would be if people get alcoholically propelled and get a bit more confident and get a bit more raucous. That says here, don't drink too much. Do you go up and are you, if they're just about to climb on board someone, you say, hang on a minute, mate, you've had too much to drink. Do you police all that?
Yes and no. First and foremost, we do require and happy to comply with the responsible serving of alcohol. One of our rules is you cannot take alcohol upstairs because we want to ensure informed consent, which is of paramount importance, of course. We do rotate our staff through the upstairs area approximately every 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes odd, to just... tidy up everything that needs to be tidied up, check on things, make sure everything's going well, make sure there's nobody that's inebriated or overly intoxicated.
How do you police people not bringing drugs in, recreational drugs, or don't you worry about that?
Sex is a good enough drug for most people.
No, but it
does happen from time to time. We have called out people on occasion. I've had cause to call the police recently just once. We've only ever had the police attend our venue once.
Taking recreational drugs?
The person was definitely affected by illicit substances. We do not condone it. We discourage it. And we find if anybody's under the effect of illicit drugs, we will monitor them, make sure they're okay, and basically promptly, once they're in a fit state, remove them from the venue.
Can I ask the mistress, mm-hmm. what's the point of difference with this business? Matt mentioned earlier it was unique. What is your point of difference in comparison to what other clubs or venues are around Melbourne?
Well, the main point of difference is what he outlined earlier, is that other businesses are focused on the gay community, so there are the gay saunas around that will then run a night for straight couples monthly or weekly or whatever. We focus specifically on straight couples and single ladies. And the other difference is that we have a much larger focus on the community aspect and the social aspect of it. So we have quite a large social area. The downstairs wine bar area is quite big. And so a lot of people come just for the social side of it. They like the community. Everyone's very open-minded.
So hang on. So they don't participate. They just... Yeah. Converse or
yes.
mix?
Well, there's a bit of a mixture, but yeah, some people, and particularly some of our regulars, don't ever go upstairs, but they really enjoy the social aspect that we offer and the big social space downstairs, because everybody that there is friendly, everybody likes to chat, they meet people, everyone's a little bit more open to those connections. They may then make connections with people that they go on to have a sexual relationship with later on, but they're not necessarily using the venue just
Where's the
for
venue?
That. It's in Balaclava.
Do people generally sit around at the bar and with nothing on? Is it
sometimes?
Well, sometimes, Matt. It's a nudist. Generally, people like to sit around in the nude, and is that right?
One of the biggest unresolved questions we had all the way up to the very first night we opened up the doors was the dress code. We knew people had to dress smartly to get there, that kind of stuff. But we agonised whether we had a where we should have a requirement where people would dress down at 10 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever it might have been.
They should what at 10 o'clock?
Dress down to lingerie less. So basically people walk in fully clothed. Some places out there...
You encourage people to take their gear off.
As soon as they get in, that kind of stuff. But we agonise over what people would want to do. So on the very first night, I actually stood up in the stool in front of the whole room full of people saying, thank you very much, here's our grand opening, we love it all that you came, thank you, yada, yada, yada. And I've got a question for everyone. I want a bit of a show of hands, please. Who here would want option A, which was to take your clothes off at 10 o'clock? Everyone dress down to lingerie at 10 o'clock. And option B is who wants to make the decision, your decision, that you can choose to dress down whatever you want? Overwhelmingly, people chose option B. We repeated that same straw poll on the next night, the Saturday night, and it was the same. So basically what happens is people come in, they have a few drinks, it's ironic, you almost set your clock to it sometimes. About 9:30, you sort of turn around.
They rip their gear off.
Just about, you sort of turn around, there's four or five or half a dozen people in lingerie or underwear, and you go, oh, it's about that time. And typically throughout the night, by about 11 o'clock, the majority of the room, two-thirds, three-quarters, 89%, majority of the room are dressed down to lingerie.
Did you make this announcement with your clothes off?
No.
Just to get people titillated, so to speak.
Well, there was this one time, a few too many drinks. No, just joking. We do fantastic. All the staff, myself included, all wear uniforms and are fully dressed because from our perspective, we run a professional venue. One of the things we try to distinguish ourselves from the other ones that are out there, with no disrespect to them, we try and run a professional venue that's more upmarket. We try to be a bit more refined and sophisticated.
Do you have to? How do you police? Do you have to check your mobile phone in at the door? But you don't allow people photography or videoing. No. How do you police that?
It's similar to.
Or do you police it?
We do. It's similar to that where I mentioned about people and safety and wellbeing. We do tell you at the front door what the procedure is and policies on phones. Mobile phones are permissible downstairs but discouraged. And as I can quote you verbatim because I've said it so many times at the front door. Mobile phones are permissible but discouraged downstairs. We understand some among us may have kids or babysitters you've got to check on, that kind of stuff. We get that and we're fine with that. But please keep it to a minimum and it must go in your locker before you head upstairs. Mobile phones are not allowed upstairs under any circumstances.
Because you could have people just sneak in there and try and take photographs downstairs of people they think would be embarrassed.
Could also be embarrassing downstairs too, couldn't it?
Potentially, but people are very conscious and respectful. Number one, majority of people pay with their mobile phones now, the tap on the register. So that makes it very difficult for that. I've only ever had it twice in the entire time of the 2 years that somebody looked like they were recording something or photographing or recording, whatever it was. Yeah. And both those times happened to be women, coincidentally. And I went up to him and remonstrated with him and said, I'd like to see your phone, please. One of them was innocent. She wasn't doing anything of the sort. The other one was, and I basically confiscated her phone, deleted all the imageries associated with the bar, ejected her and told her she can never come back, and she has never come back. I have a zero tolerance policy on that. We have zero tolerance. And the people, again, it's that very self-policing. If people think that the woman sitting next to him or the guy sitting across away from him look like they're doing a bit dodgy in the phone, people are quite conscious of that and brings it to our attention very quickly.
It says you have a different culture. I read all that out at the start. It says send us a text on a certain number. And he said, and in your text include one or two pics of yourself, including a face and a whole body pic, fully clothed is fine. Genital pics are neither desired nor required.
So this is specifically for the single men that you're reading. That's not for everybody. Good. That's for the very occasional evenings we have where we allow single men to attend. Good. And that's part of the vetting process. And it's not for us to check how they look. That is mostly about checking whether they can follow instructions, because unfortunately a lot of single men really struggle to follow basic
and
instructions.
And that are also presentable.
Oh, well, so if a large obese man where he's never seen his dick for 40 years and he's bald and he's fat and he's sweating and you wouldn't let him in, would you?
Yep.
Because would you?
Yep.
If he's polite and respectful and he understands the rules.
Who am I to judge? Sorry, mistress. Sorry, my apologies. I didn't mean to cut across you. Sorry.
Apologies,
who am
mistress.
I to judge what's attractive to you or to you or to you? We don't know.
I'll
will flip it on the flip side. There's a woman that comes in to our bar, the most gorgeous woman. A
big Sheila.
Very voluptuous woman. She owns her curves. She owns her hips. And I have seen her
fantastic.
Be the most stunning woman as far as her attitude, her demeanor. I've seen women who are little pencil stick thin yep. women who
not sexy
have a hell of a bad night
yep.
because they don't own their confidence, they don't own themselves.
Yep.
Now, it's got sex. One of our nights, we have different nights and different themes and different events. One of the themes of one of our nights is sexiness is not a look, it's an attitude. And it is. People that own their hips or own their curves or whatever, they own their sexiness.
So, Matt, you could be the Jeffrey Epstein. You could be the Jeffrey Epstein of Australia or Melbourne. Do you have celebrities, notorious people, politicians, lawyers? Do you know generally the people?
Just for the record,
yes.
Just for the record, because it's been recorded. Setting aside the pedophilia angle that Jeffrey has seen, but yes. the name list, yes.
Yes, no,
we have. Yes. I take great pride in the fact that we have had lawyers, doctors, teachers, police. We've had professionals, we've had celebrities, we've had a lot of football players come along, cricket players. I actually laugh at the fact that we have had people from all three sides of the political spectrum. I have a bit of a passion for the politics, so I know their faces. I've had people from the three major parties come into our venue.
So
we've had famous rock stars come in.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I didn't recognise who he was until one of my staff brought it to my attention. Said, did you know who that was? I didn't know who it was. But
who was it?
Can't tell you.
Not an overseas person?
He's actually overseas. He's an Australian one, but both Australian and overseas. Yeah,
I knew you weren't.
World famous.
I knew you weren't going to answer
world
that question.
Famous.
It was just an attempt.
But I didn't recognise him. But lovely guy. Lovely guy. Great chat.
So you have a compendium. You would have a record of everyone that comes in. Do you get their names as they come in? Is that a requirement? Do they have to identify who they are?
No. Some yes, some no. Some that contact us and talk to us.
So you want to go incognito?
But some people go incognito. Incognito. We have people that come to the door and say, hi, I'm David and this is Mary. I go, great, guys, did you book online or are you paying at the door? And they say, we booked online. So I'm looking up David or Mary on my list. I've gone, I've got no David and Mary. They go, oh, it's actually Dave and Jenny. All right, so that's fine. People come in under pseudonyms, and that's fine if that's what they wish to do, and that's fine.
Most people pay by cash or?
No.
No?
No, overwhelming majority still pay by card.
Do they?
Yeah.
And would you have a photo wall of all the people, or you don't?
No, but we should start. We should start a celebrity wall. You could be the first one up on
the Mudge Gallery.
Come on in.
I deem it an honour. Yeah. If I could get past the physical, getting in. If I could get past you at the door,
you're in.
I have to come, and then at 10 o'clock, I've got to get my gear off. Do I? That's about
no.
it.
No, whenever you feel comfortable, do so.
If
you feel comfortable, do so. You don't have to at all.
Come in with the open neck trousers to start with, and then I'd go from there. Phoebe, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Would you take your gear, Phoebe?
Phoebe is shaking her head so hard.
Phoebe, would you get your gear? Would you get your gear off? Because I'd go just to see you with your gear off. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I'm being silly. Oh, that's embarrassing you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. When do we go? It's fantastic, Don. This is extraordinary, isn't it? It's a great thing because. Now, I have never been involved in this, but gee whiz, how many times have you been at a party at your house and that, and it all gets a bit, this saves you having to worry about it.
I'm just going to stop him. He's just babbling. Tell me, how many clubs of your kind are there in Melbourne?
So of our specific
club? How many swingers clubs are in Melbourne?
So in Melbourne, there's us, who are, with all humility, a standalone. There is no one like us. There is two gay saunas that some nights option out to be a swingers venue. There is a couple.
There's one in Kew, isn't there?
That's a house party that they sort of open up once every 2 months or something like that. There is a dedicated house out in the sticks somewhere, out in the far eastern suburbs, which has its own reputation. And then there's odd people, not as in weird, but randomly odd, places that do their own pop-up house parties once every month, once every 2 months kind of thing. And that's about it. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it was a dumb idea, because other people would have done it by now, but they haven't.
And there's a perception, I think there's a perception of that swingers lifestyle as being anything goes. You know, it's if you went to, say, your venue, it is an anything goes type of place. I mean, how, for the listeners who may not be particularly aware of this particular lifestyle, you know, how full on is it?
Love that question. Good question, because it couldn't be further from the truth. Again, one of the first things I say when people walk in the door is, we are a wine bar first and foremost. You can come in, socialise and mingle all night long. Enjoy yourself thoroughly and be under no expectation to do anything that you're not comfortable to do, period. And that extends to everybody else out there as well, of course. And we mean that, and earnest words are never spoken so strongly. We have people, it's not just here, it's in the lifestyle. I know people that come in just to watch what goes on. We had a couple that came in for every other week or 3 or 4 weeks for about a 6 month period in their first year. Lovely couple. They'd buy a shared platter, a little charcuterie board for just the two of them, and they'd buy a bottle of wine. They sat down at the table, they didn't speak to anybody else, and they'd sit there and have a drink of their wine. They'd finish their bottle, eat their little nibbles together, and they'd get up and they'd bring the little board back up to the bar and say, thanks very much. And I say, guys, that's our job. You should have left at the table. And they joke and we joke, and then they go home and do whatever they want, have a sexy, naughty, fun time, whatever they choose to do. And that's swinging, because that's what they like to do. And then we have people that come in just to watch other people. They have people that come in that just want to play with them and their partner and mm-hmm. want other people to watch them. We have people that just want to kiss and pash with other people. That's fine too. Everything, it's whatever you feel comfortable with. It's whatever your level of comfort factor it is. Whatever your level of comfort factor is. Oh, that's what it's for. Thank you.
Noted.
It's whatever your level of comfort factor is, and it's whatever you want to do. We have couples that come in there that say, we are just coming in tonight just to see how this, we're like their first timers, just to look and see how this works. And sometimes they do that and they leave after a couple hours and say, thanks, we had a great time. It was fascinating to watch. We have other people that say the exact same thing. And they're the ones we end up going to turn the lights on at 2 a.m. and turn the hoses on, go, guys, go home, put your clothes back on, go home. And it's whatever people feel comfortable with, anything
between.
Turn
the hoses on, hose down the room. So just finally, I'm not sure how many more questions we can ask about this, but so you have group booking, groups can book out the venue?
Yes.
And is that popular? So that would, I presume that would be 20, 30, 40 people would come. They'd all know one another and they've all probably lived next to each other in the suburbs or wherever they live, or they've worked together, and they thought, let's go there and let's get it on, rather than me trying to touch up by the water cooler at work. Let's just go there and get it on.
That made the mistress laugh. yes, we have people that know that's their own private group that book out the venue. Typically, it's our smallest groups to be about 50 or 60 when they're booked out for just a small group. Typically, book it out. People book it out for a full house. Our actual license allows for 120 people, but we like to keep it 100 just so it's not too, doesn't feel too crowded. But we've had people book it out for their own private birthday parties, which have become a naughty birthday party. We have people hiring out the venues for them to then sell their own tickets for their own private themes or events or whatever. We get all sorts. But the biggest nights typically and the most popular nights is when we set up our own theme nights and that kind of stuff and have a great time.
Why did you laugh at that, mistress, when I said you get chatted up by the wine cooler at work? Water cooler at work, you might as well go to this place and just don't pretense.
I know, we haven't had work parties there yet, but oftentimes the private events when people book it out is all the people coming don't necessarily know each other. It's the organisers will then organise for a whole lot of separate people to come.
My last question, is Melbourne kinky?
I don't perceive swinging as kinky, but yes, very much so. What I love the most is within the business, again, my business mind works 24/7. Within the business, I knew from day one that you couldn't just have a group of X number of thousand of people that would attend the bar all the time. You had to get fresh blood coming the whole time. You had to get new people coming, new patrons.
Fresh
blood,
fresh meat, fresh stock.
I try to avoid using the word meat.
Fresh stock, they come in cattle trucks.
Correct. So I was always quite conscious or quite fearful that we weren't getting new patrons coming, new flow. So we did set up specific nights, which are newcomers nights, which are sort of focused and tailored on people new or curious about the lifestyle. And those nights are massive. In the last month, we've had to have three of those newcomers nights because we get so many new people coming in. And on any given night, about 25% to 30% of patrons will be the first timers there. And that's what I love, because it means we're doing something well, to know that people feel confident and comfortable enough to come into the venue, and it's not some sleazy, grotty sex club. They feel comfortable because it's a wine bar. And that means we're getting fresh intake of people coming all the time, which means we're busy.
Now, this is my final question, and you talk about is Melbourne kinky? We would pale into insignificance if you ever look at what goes on around the world, I reckon.
You'd be surprised. We get a lot of patrons that do world tours.
And they say this is it.
And they compliment us as a venue, and I'm always humbled by that, but they do compliment us and Melbourne as a general.
Take that back, Phoebe. No, very nice. Now, this is my last crack at this. General areas include the downstairs wine bar, dressing rooms, bathrooms, open play spaces, swing room, massage room, stations, private rooms, plus a few extra surprises, which would be what?
No. Because if we tell you, they're not surprises. What are you doing to me?
Good point. Nice.
You can find out when you come in.
Nice point. You have a whipping station or people flog you to death or beat you with a ninja.
We call it Sam's stool.
Well, look, do you want to say who you are, or do you advertise?
We do advertise. People that look for us find us quite well.
Will we say who you are, or do you want us to do that?
Between Friends Wine Bar.
Just look.
If they Google Between Friends Wine Bar.
Between Friends Wine Bar.
Yep. Do you want an extra special announcement?
What's
discount,
that?
Is there?
No. Well, not quite. We've just officially launched the search for our second venue.
I wasn't delicately going to ask you. This has been, if you'll pardon the expression, you're kicking butt.
Yeah.
It's going gangbusters, eh?
It is.
That's extraordinary.
So which area would you be looking? More affluent area?
Geographically, we're in the southeastern suburbs. So we've got a couple options. Option one is we're looking at sort of the opposite corner, so northwest versus southeast. We're looking at that sort of district there. We are also looking at a couple over, sorry, a couple of interstate venues options in other states.
Can you can you invest in this? Do you take investors? Would you wouldn't like to open it here out in the warehouse? Would you? You can have this rent free out the back here.
We'll talk later. We'll negotiate. but also, we've had quite a few requests from people. We get a lot of travellers. We get a lot of travellers from interstate and from overseas, an awful lot.
What, specifically to come down to your venue?
Oh, yeah.
One of my most well-told stories.
Well, you must have a good reputation. It must be a good facility.
That's why they're here, Don.
Yeah.
Well, that's not why they're here.
This is not any road. This is not any run-of-the-mill bloody ball. You know, freaking rooting power. This is a proper place, Don. You have a drink. And then if you want to get it on, that's up to you. But don't touch anyone unless you get permission.
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
One of my most well-told and well-worn stories, which is God's honest truth, is we've been open for 2 years, and about 6 weeks after we came open, had a lovely couple come in, and it was towards the end of the night, and I was chatting with them at the front door as about to leave, just a bit of chit-chat, and they mentioned by way of conversation that they're heading to the airport tomorrow. And of course, as you ask, I said, oh, where are we going? They said, we're actually heading home to Townsville. I went, oh, great. What did you come to Melbourne for? You know, work, business, pleasure, pain, family, whatever. They said, oh, no, we came to Melbourne to come to Between Friends. I went, oh, that's lovely. But, you know, what was your main purpose of your trip to Melbourne? They said, no, we came to Melbourne to come to Between Friends. And they were dead serious. And I was, if somebody had said that after 2 years, I'd be stunned. But after 6 weeks of, us being open, I was floored by that. And I was stumbling and I was mumbling. I'm like, oh, well, look, Lisa, I hope you had a good night. And they said, we had a fantastic night. I said, oh, well, that's a relief. And once I got composed myself, I said, look, let me shout you guys a drink. So we actually shouted to them a shot of our signature house shot that we give out. And the three of us did a shout. And we did. So I shouted them a drink on the house, and I made a deal with myself that any time I find out people from interstate or overseas, I shout them the drink on the house. And so that's my little good luck charm for myself. And I've been doing that ever since, hence why this is such a well-worn story. And so I end up talking to a lot of people from interstate over a drink, and they say, you've got to bring it to Perth, you've got to bring it to Adelaide, to Sydney, to the Gold Coast, to New Zealand. We get a lot of people coming across from even New Zealand. We've had people from, you name a continent other than Antarctica, and we've had people come to us from there. I'm not saying they've specifically come all the way just to see us, but they've come to Australia, they've come to Melbourne, and they've, you know, swingers know how to find the right location. We found one of the biggest forums and platforms for swingers, unbeknownst to me, is actually Reddit. And a lot of people check out Reddit. And, you know, the number of comments we get about us on Reddit is truly humbling. And a lot of people source us through Reddit and other platforms similar to that. And so when people come in from interstate or overseas, they look at what's good on the scene in Melbourne and they come to us and we love it.
Phoebe, the mistress and Matt have roped you in. This is your third final question.
Yes, it is. How many complaints have you had from the neighbours?
Two. And they had to do with sound. Our location's a very unique location, so we don't have neighbours directly abutting us or whatever. There's zoning requirements and bits and pieces like that. One was I spoke to local council, and even he said, this is a vexatious one, this is BS, because it was somebody saying we could hear their music from two streets over, which is not true. We have small speakers that you couldn't hear from the next room, practically speaking. So that was BS. The other one was an actual specific night when people did a venue takeover and they set up their own speaker systems, unbeknownst to me and us, and there were complaints about that, and the local council spoke to us and we took it on the chin. We said, mea culpa, my apologies, it won't happen again, and it doesn't, and it won't.
Well, look...
if I may just finish. Yes. By and large, because swingers in the swingers community are very private people and they like to protect their privacy. So as they come and go, they're very quiet and very respectful for that reason.
Tell you what, Michael Christian's been sitting over there for an hour with a hard on. He's been sitting on the couch over there. Made that up. Ivan's, I'm not sure about Ivan, but got a bit firm over there. So anyhow, this has been a fascinating conversation. I've found it fascinating. Don, haven't you?
My word, fascinating.
Any likelihood we'll be in balaclava in the near future? We'll contemplate. The people don't try and disguise their face. They don't wear masks or anything like that. COVID was no problem?
Other than on a mask.
Was COVID any
night.
Problem? That's
why I'm insane, because I basically, we built the place and we launched it in the middle of a COVID pandemic, because that's insanity.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us on You Cannot Be Serious. Best friends and best friends...
No, between wife. Friends.
Oh, yeah, between friends. Yeah, well done, Don. Between Friends and Between Friends Wine Bar. That's the name. Google it if you want to know. I've been to the Antarctic. I could be your first person that's been to the Antarctic that will come to it.
Oh, please do.
Right.
We insist.
All the best. Here we go. Now, Don, which one am I pressing here? Where am I going? No, down there.
Press them all.
Oh, shit. Didn't have the sound up. See, I knew it.
You're flustered.
I am. Don. Open
around. Yeah, I know you're as horny, you know. Jeez.
Nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Come back again.